It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about a great week in Syracuse football recruiting and a look ahead to the 2015 season. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Steve Auger, and our guest today is Syracuse.com, Stephen Bailey. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on, Wes. I always appreciate it.
Yeah, Steve, I want to get you started on this one. Three-star athlete Mo Neal committing to Syracuse over the weekend. What kind of player is Syracuse getting in Neal?
Well, I think the first thing, at least when I think about Mo and you watch this film, is someone who's very comfortable with the ball in his hands. You can watch as he changes directions. He uses his feet and his hips very well. And from Syracuse's perspective, he's used to lining up in different places, and that's really going to be the key for him. He's being recruited for the hybrid back position, which is a new position in Tim Lester's offense, the Syracuse offensive coordinator. So he'll line up on the wing, in the backfield, in the slot, and even as an inline tight end sometimes. So Mo is he's very, very experienced lining up in the slot and running downfield routes. He's also taking traditional carries backfield. He's taking jet sweeps. So he's done kind of some of those. That's really, really what Syracuse likes. And, you know, this is Tim Lester's first year recruiting the position for Syracuse, and he's definitely got one of the guys he really liked in Mo Neal. We'll see him probably make an immediate impact when he arrives in January for spring practice.
Now, one of the things that you wrote about after the commitment was Neal's relationship with 2016 defensive tackle Christian Colon. He's currently committed to Penn State. How realistic a possibility is it that Syracuse could possibly flip a guy like Colon?
Christian Colon is definitely kind of a name to watch for Syracuse as, you know, it rounds out this 2016 class. He's been friends with Mo Neal and Robert Washington, a Syracuse running back commit, since before high school. They've talked about playing together, but Christian, I haven't heard from Christian since Mo said that, you know, he's still going to try and flip him towards Syracuse. To me, the most interesting thing about it is that Mo said James Franklin and Penn State, you know, would pull Christian's offer if he takes a visit to another school. So I think that'll kind of be the telltale sign if you see Christian setting up visits to other schools, and if he's coming to visit Syracuse in particular, you know, it's more than just a, hey, I want to take a look. It's I'm interested. And he kind of would probably know the magnitude of a decision like that. So, you know, what are the chances? I don't really know if you can place a number on it, but he's definitely someone to keep an eye on as Syracuse fills out the last few spots in his class. And I really think one of them has to be a defensive tackle since they don't have any yet in the 2016 class.
And you talk about filling out the rest of that class. Is there anyone else besides Christian Colon that we should really keep an eye for?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think just kind of looking at the numbers, there'll be probably three more guys in the class, maybe four. It's always kind of hard to tell with attrition. And the key for Syracuse with 2016 will be staying under the 85-player cap on its overall roster. Eric Burrell is a four-star safety out of Maryland. He was really impressed on kind of an unofficial visit that he crammed between a Rutgers and BC trip a couple months back, and he really liked Syracuse. I think we'll see him take an official visit. That's someone who they'll be waiting on. There are a couple other defensive backs who are kind of floating around there. Kobe Birch is another defensive back from Florida, and Devin Clark is also a defensive back from Florida. Burrell's from Maryland, excuse me. Those other two guys are from Florida. So I think those might be kind of on the back burner for Syracuse if they don't get Burrell. But I definitely think we'll see another defensive back. I think another defensive tackle. If not Colon, Bo Peak is another name to watch. He's a defensive tackle from the Tampa area, currently committed to Stanford. As the longtime Syracuse fans know, SU has benefited from Stanford's high grade requirements in the past. Jared West was going to go to Stanford, but he, you know, academically, obviously Stanford's a very tough place to get into. He kind of fell to Syracuse. So maybe we'll see a similar situation with Bo. And the interesting thing about him is that he's transferring to Plant High School in Tampa, where Syracuse commits Rex Culpepper and Scoop Bradshaw already play. So he'll probably have a couple Syracuse guys in his ear. And, you know, Bo would be a pretty big pickup late in the cycle for Syracuse. So I'll say those are the guys kind of now. I think we'll see a safety. I think we'll see a defensive tackle, and then it may just kind of be a best available. You know, Donald Stewart's a wide receiver from New Jersey who Syracuse is trying to get in on. You know, he's got offers from Michigan and Stanford. Those are kind of the two schools it seems like he likes a lot. It just always kind of seems, you know, there's still so much time until signing day. A couple other names will pop up. You know, last year it was a guy like Stephen Clark, who was a defensive tackle out in Alabama, who suddenly blew up. And, you know, even after he committed to Syracuse, Florida wanted to take a look at him in Vanderbilt. So those are the names that I would kind of keep an eye on now. But it is kind of crazy how quickly Syracuse's class is filling up.
Well, let's move on to the actual football season ahead of us now. And you mentioned Tim Lester before on the recruiting end, but obviously now he's got to step on the field and be the offensive coordinator for the first time as a full season. How quickly is the team taking to his new offensive philosophy?
Well, I think that's the biggest question kind of heading into preseason camp. You know, everyone's saying the right things, but, you know, when you cover college sports, you kind of quickly learn that that happens heading into every year. we'll see. You know, I think Tim Lester's a sharp guy. I think, you know, the blocking schemes and the West Coast passing concepts and the culture of kind of open communication he's preaching, I think they're all good things. You know, I think he connects well with players. I know, you know, he's worked with the quarterbacks the last couple of years. They all love him. You know, he believes in statistics. You know, he believes numbers back things up if you look at the right ones. I think he's definitely got a good head on his shoulders. The question to me is, will he kind of have a talented and healthy enough group to perform, you know, the task that he's asking? So many guys in that unit have had serious injuries, you know, starting with Teron, who fractured his fibula 5 games in the last year. You've got 3 redshirt seniors on the offensive line. All of them have had serious injuries. You know, they don't return a wide receiver who has more than 400 career receiving yards. So he's got a lot of questions to deal with. And Ashton Broyles, you know, one of their hybrid backs, was just dismissed from the team last week. So he's certainly got a lot to deal with there. But I like the ideas he has. And the early season schedule is manageable. So if he can get some of those young players producing well early and they can avoid kind of that big injury or a couple smaller injuries in a preseason camp and get the season rolling well, you know, I do think it's possible that, you know, the players get into a groove with the system and they can string a few wins together.
Now, let's move from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball. A ton of turnover on defense. I remember Chris Carlson writing an article a little while back just demonstrating how much attrition there's been from last year's team. Give me a name of someone who really isn't on anyone's radar right now, but we'll be talking about at the end of the season on that defensive side of the ball.
Sure. You know, the name I'm going to go with is Antoine Cordy. And he may be on a couple people's radar. He's kind of starting to be one of the names that just pops up when you talk to guys on the team. But he is a sophomore, played cornerback last season and has moved to strong safety in the spring. And when I talked to Scott Schaefer at ACC Media Day, he just raved about Cordy. And Scott's a defensive backs guy, you know, back at Northern Illinois, you know, coming up through the coaching ranks. Even though he played quarterback in college, he was always a DB's guy. And he thinks Cordy's got excellent instincts, you know, the kind of guy who just sees the field, sees how a play is going to break, and reacts. You know, the kind of learning curve that a lot of young guys take. We need to walk him through everything Cordy went through pretty quickly. You know, he's got great speed. I mean, there's really no one else at the position right now with Rodney Williams and Chauncey Sivan working at free safety. So I think we could see that. And, you know, the way Chuck Buller runs his defense with a lot of pressures and kind of daring teams to beat him over the top, Antoine Cordy will be a very, very important player in kind of minimizing the amount of big plays that SU gives up. So he'll be an important player, and I wouldn't be surprised if you really impressed some folks, especially early in the season.
And, Stephen, we'll get you out of here on this one. Syracuse picked at the bottom of the ACC by most publications, but what do you think about the possibility of 6 wins in a bowl game? Is that in the realm of possibilities?
Well, it's definitely in the realm of possibilities if you just kind of look at how top-heavy the ACC is. I mean, there are 3 games in the schedule that I would be genuinely shocked if they won. If they beat Florida State, Clemson, or Louisville, I would be pretty shocked. Not totally impossible, but you really just kind of look at the schedule and, you know, any team does, you try and see how can you get the 6 wins. And the early season slide helps. Rhode Island is a bad FCS team. This is not Villanova from last year. You know, that's a very winnable game. Central Michigan and South Florida, Syracuse will probably be favored to win. You know, even Wake Forest, they might be slightly favored to win. And you got teams like Virginia, Boston College, Pittsburgh. You know, these are all winnable games for a healthy team that is playing reasonably well. And I think health will be the key there. You know, if you can get to a 3-1 start, fantastic. That LSU game, you can be thrown in, but it's going to be a tough one. So if you win the games you're supposed to win, and you can win those coin flips, 6 wins is possible. I think it's unlikely. I think they really need to stay healthy, and just knowing kind of the injuries the guys have had in the past and kind of the depth they have at almost every position on offense, I'm hesitant to say that they're going to win 6 games. I think four is the number I've been putting out. But, you know, a couple plays one way or the other, you know, an injury that doesn't happen, that could be 2 wins in a season, especially, you know, like I said, after you get past those top teams in the ACC, anything could kind of happen.
Steven, thanks so much for coming back on the program. It's always a pleasure to read your articles on Syracuse.com. Enjoy the season. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Wes. Appreciate you having me on.
Great stuff from our friend Stephen Bailey, and I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online senior columnist, Steve Auger. Steve, how are you?
Good, Wes. How you doing?
Good. Trying to stay cool on August day. And Steve, you know, first off, welcome to the podcast for the first time, and let's get right to it. Robert Washington, Rex Culpepper, Jamal Holloway, now Mo Neal. You know, when is the last time that Syracuse got this many victories in a row in football recruiting?
Well, you know, you probably have to go back to, I'd say, the days of George De Leon, you know, owning New Jersey, like he founded the state. but in recent memory, if you look back, just last June, Syracuse got 13 verbals in the month of June alone, 9 of them signed. Kind of the highlights of all those verbals in that month were Marquise Blair and Dante Strickland. And then if you go back to 2014, right before signing day and right on signing day, you had Ishmael and Ward sign. But in terms of, a bunch of difference makers or at least, you know, what appears to be difference makers committing, you know, I don't think the football program has seen this in some time.
And, you know, what I really like about our conversations is you have a very good barometer, I think, which is offer lists from other schools because, you know, sometimes a Syracuse recruit, you get an offer from Akron was a very big one or, you know, like a MAC team or a Sun Belt team. And, you know, those are fine players and some of them turn out to be very good. But you look at some of the offer lists. So Jamal Holloway, Rutgers, Pitt, Michigan State, West Virginia, Rex Culpepper, Miami, Mississippi, Mississippi State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Mo Neal, the most recent commit, they beat out Boston College, which is a huge recruiting rival, Georgia Tech, NC State, Wake Forest, West Virginia, and of course all the offers that Robert Washington got from high majors. And I think that's a very good barometer. And, you know, with these four guys, Syracuse did very well for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of the big one is Washington. And, you know, if you look at his profile on Scout and Rivals, I think on Scout he has 42 offers, and on Rivals he has 40. There's very, very few of the big boys that haven't offered Washington, if you go by those websites. You know, and like you touched on earlier, I think the big thing, which is, you know, hopefully a sign of where Schaefer and his staff have taken the level of recruits in the past few years, is it back under Greg Robinson, I mean, Syracuse was, you know, they were fighting the 1AA schools just to land kids. You know, and that now they are, you know, they're beating out their, you know, Power 5 schools for kids, and especially, you know, in a case like Washington, you know, a case like, you know, look at Culpepper, he has, I think, a Florida offer and a Mississippi State offer. To pull a quarterback out of the state of Florida, you know, to get, you know, Washington and Mo Neal, both from North Carolina, you know, those aren't exactly Syracuse, hotbeds of recruiting.
You know, a wise man once said, you don't win football games in the fall without first winning recruiting battles in the spring. And I think that's really what's happening here. And, you know, Steve, let's buckle down and look to the season ahead of us now. You know, Stephen Bailey, who we just spoke with, his 2015 prediction is around 4 wins. You know, he's kind of saying if Syracuse gets lucky, they can parlay that possibly into 5 or 6 and make a bowl game on the outside. But what do you think about this season coming up?
I think what's really going to make or break the season is this four games. They play at Virginia, they play at NC State, and they host Pitt and BC. Out of those four games, they have to find two wins. I think BC is the most beatable, because Tyler Murphy's gone, so they're going to be breaking in another quarterback. It's in the Carrier Dome, and it's the last game of the year. So if there's any bowl eligibility riding on it, they're going to be even more amped up for that. If you look at, Virginia, Mike London, if they don't have a good year, he's going to be on the hot seat as well. But they could be looking at the Syracuse game on their calendar saying that's one of our must wins. So, that's going to be a competitive game. The Pittsburgh game, they haven't beaten Pitt in a long time. And, but that's in the Dome this year. So, the NC State game, they lost to them last year in the Dome. This year it's in NC State. I don't have a lot of hope there, but, out of those four games, they've got to find two wins if they want to get to 6-6.
So, Steve, prediction time. How many wins do you predict this year?
Probably 5, but, if they go 6-6, I won't be surprised.
That sounds good to me. Steve, I'm right in that bubble, too. I think, they're either going to be in that 5-7, 6-6 range, and if they're really lucky and everything goes right for them, and they win all four of those games that you just mentioned, 7-5. But I think, four wins is the baseline, 5 wins is probable, and 6 would be a really nice season. Steve, we're right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
Well, I just think as the football season approaches, I think fans have to pump the brakes on if the team, winds up with another, 4-8 record and things don't look good on paper. I think you have to look at what Schaefer and his staff have done on the recruiting field, last year and who they're bringing in this year. And I really think you just have to be patient. You got to give him time, to stock the cupboard with his guys. You got to let Washington, these guys, get on campus and see what they can do. And if his recruits are as good as people think they are, I think it's a matter of time before they start winning again.
I agree, Steve. And again, I think it's a great idea, a great rule to give 5 years to bring in his own recruits and his own recruiting cycle. And we'll see what happens. I really hope that this coaching staff does well. And Steve, my closing thoughts are on the basketball tournament, which wrapped up over the weekend. Overseas Elite emerged from a field of 97 teams to take home $1 million. And Steve, I'd love to see Boeheim's Army win that tournament next year.
Oh, I think it'd be fantastic, I think what they lack this year is, they could have used a little more shooting, so, Wes, my question is, do you have any eligibility left?
None at all. That's it for us. For Steve Auger, this is Wes Chang reminding you that I think it's interesting that cologne rhymes with alone. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cues podcast on SNY.TV, and see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cues podcast, part of the SNY.TV podcast network.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code PLAY100. That's code PLAY100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
On Instacart, I can shop a huge selection of pet supplies, from that one brush that scratches him just right, to that extra comfy bed he can't wait to flop down in. And I get everything delivered right to my door in as fast as 1 hour. Okay, settle down. I know it's here. Yes, very exciting. Visit Instacart.com or download the app to get a free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply. Instacart. Add life to cart.